commence my remarks with the Lord's help on the 34th verse in the 19th chapter of the Gospel by Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 34. And they said, "The Lord hath need of him." The Lord hath need of him. The subject before us indicates the absolute knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as the sovereign Lord of all. When he had need of this ass, he knew just where to send the circumstances surrounding the beast at that point and place where his two disciples were directed to go and find him and bring him to the Lord. And this is not a unique incident. My friends, the Lord, as the Lord of hosts, has perfect knowledge of the whereabouts of all things at any given moment of time, and he can always direct to a suitable place for the needful provision. And we have here the wonderful detail recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of the provision that the Lord received through the ass as he was about to go to Jerusalem and fulfill that prophecy in Zechariah concerning this very event. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Now, as we consider that the Lord had knowledge of all things and all things belong to him, what a wonderful thing it was that he chose to ride as king into Jerusalem upon an ass's colt. He could have chosen just whatever he pleased and directed that that provision should come to him, and all would have been willing to obey his decree that such should be his conveyance. But my friends, to manifest his humility, he's meek and lowly. And this choice evidences the sweet humility and identity of the Lord Jesus Christ with his poor people. And as the king, he chose to ride upon this foal of an ass as he entered into the city of Jerusalem. His disciples, upon his direction, two of them went into the village where they found everything even as he had said. There is an experimental verification of the perfect knowledge of Jesus in regard to the disposition of all things, even as he had said. They had things to do. And there was this ass and its colt tie where two ways meet, and the owners were nigh at hand to raise the question of which the Lord forewarned would be raised, that brought forth this answer, which proved a sufficient answer to quieten any feeling of resentment as to the taking away of the ass and its colt at this particular time. I wonder if such a disposition is found in our hearts as to bring us to silence in regard to the sacrifice or forfeiture of anything we possess through the words, "The Lord hath need of him." My friends, we're very possessive of our possessions. But this was a satisfactory reason for the forfeiture of a possession by the owners of this colt. "The Lord hath need of it." Now, it's a sad thing, really, if we are such possessors of our possessions that should the Lord call us, and I emphasize that, should the Lord call us to make sacrifice of any possession we're possessed of for his sake, are we willing? Or are we under? "The Lord hath need of him" was a satisfying reason for the owners of this beast to sacrifice him, to release him, and let the disciples take him away. And "The Lord hath need of him." The Lord hath need of him. Now, the Lord hath need of him because the Lord, in the whole of his life, was subject to God's will and walking out a path that was perfectly prophesied in Old Testament scripture. What a part an ass's colt played in the fulfillment of prophecy. The prophecy could not be fulfilled without this essential provision. And my friends, while we may look at various things and feel that they're insignificant, inferior, commonplace, there are times when commonplace things are absolutely essential to the fulfillment of the divine purpose, and that the divine purpose could not be fulfilled without the commonplace thing. So that we may say, "Well, I can't see any need of that. I can't see the Lord doesn't require that." Well, let us be careful, because the Lord uses in his condescending purposes sometimes the most commonplace and unexpected instruments to the perfection of his sovereign will. Now, you and I, in similar circumstances, in these circumstances, would have expected the Lord to ride upon the ass with the colt running by his side. Because the ass was trained, subject, in all probability had been used previously to convey persons and properties. But when we come to the colt, we find a beast upon which never man before had sat. So that the thought of sitting upon such a beast, and just that alone, would raise all sorts of problems. Some of us have witnessed the breaking in of horses in our youth, when that was more common than it is today. And we remember some of the reactions of the animal to the first suggestion of human discipline. And my friends, the contrary will of the beast to its master as it rebelled against authority, and how that spirit had to be broken, and the very question, the very suggestion, or the very name that's used in that particular shows to us that the spirit of the horse must be broken. He must be broken in. That is, he must be made subject to the will of his master. Now, here was a beast not broken in. A beast that had in its nature every probability of untoward reaction. But instead of the Lord riding into his royal city with dignity, suggests a most unruly reaction that would give place to all sorts of criticism. But my friends, we find the Lord in absolute control. That the nature, as it were, of this animal is brought into such subjection to his power that he can ride with dignity into the city of Jerusalem. And the Lord hath need of him to display his power. He didn't need, as it were, the training of a human hand to bring that creature into service and subjection. That creature was his creature, and its apparent unpreparedness for the office that it was to fulfill was no hindrance to the accomplishment of Christ's purpose. He brought his power to fly, and that beast was subject to him. Now that beast was provoked by the reactions of the crowd, so that we would judge the mother of the beast, the trained animal, would find the passage most difficult as they cut down the branches and threw them in the path of the animal, and they took their clothes on and put them over the animal. It was everything to excite the nature of the beast, contrary to a dignified passage. But Christ's power is sufficient to comprehend every eventuality, to overcome every contrary circumstance. And we find here a most wonderful display of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords riding upon the pole of an ass, humble yet dignified. And in that dignity which associated with his passage, we see a glorious demonstration of his all-sufficient power to choose what he will, to overrule all things and bring all things into subjection to his own glory and to the fulfillment of his word and promise of old time. The Lord, and they said, the Lord hath need of him. The Lord hath need of him. So, my friends, we see two things, I trust, at this point, well established in our meditation. First, the sweet humility and sufficient power of the Lord Jesus Christ in his ride into Jerusalem upon the whole of the ass, and the needful sacrifice that must be made consistent with his divine choice, that the owners of this beast shall willingly submit to his call and to his purpose in forfeiting their possession of this wonderful ride into Jerusalem, according to the word of God, may find its fulfillment at this particular time. The Lord hath need of him. Now, I want to enlarge a little before I draw to a conclusion this evening upon the theme which I have taken as my second point this evening. The Lord hath need of the sovereign right of the Lord. The sovereign right of the Lord. We either believe that everything is overruled and governed and subject to the sovereign pleasure of God, or we immediately reduce the dignity of Christ to our consideration. He's either absolute sovereign or he's a sovereign subject to certain considerations. My friends, in our profession, we profess that he is absolute sovereign. The scriptures testify of his absolute sovereignty. The church acknowledges in its faith, in its declaration of faith, the absolute sovereignty of the Lord. But his sovereignty requires of us continually a willingness to submit and to subscribe to his will and his pleasure. This is one of the great difficulties with which the children of God are continually confronted. And this is one of the great problems that causes the world to so adversely react. We will not have this man to reign over us. But I do feel that it is a wonderful confirmation in our own soul's experience as others a wonderful declaration of our discipleship when we evidence this willingness to subscribe to the sovereignty of the Lord. The Lord hath need of us as an overriding, overruling consideration. And at times the Lord is pleased to bring us to the test under this principle in regard to things which are very valuable to us. Now, I don't say that a thing need be very valuable, commonly of great value, to be valuable to a person. But remember, real religion associates with personalities, individuals. And there are times when the Lord puts us to the test in regard to our disposition, our attitude in regard to His Son, as to His Son. And that is seen in an individual and personal way when the Lord calls upon us to make some sacrifice, to subject our will to His will. The Lord hath need of it. And the owner's part of it, as a hindrance. You may say, well, that may have been absolutely essential to the livelihood of the owners, that they remain in possession of this ass, and the foal is the promise of their livelihood for the future. And here is a sacrifice called upon that seems to be of profound influence upon their lives and future livelihood. My friends, in this we see the absolute need of bowing to the sovereign Lord as Lord over all. If the Lord calls upon us to make any sacrifice for His sake, we shall not ultimately lose that. And no call of the Lord will put us outside of the promises. And the promises of the gospel comprehend every need of the Lord's people. So the Lord was not calling these owners to make sacrifice of something that they couldn't live without. He could not do without the accomplishment of His promises to the Lord. Now at times we come to the point where we say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do without this, and I don't know what I'm going to do without that. The Lord hath need of it. The Lord can take care of the situation independent of any consideration, however important we feel in our finite apprehension of things, that particular thing to do. the sovereign employment exercised under God's hand of individual persons. That doesn't mean to say that there's not a weakening from time to time when it pleases the Lord to call certain of his servants to higher service. The Lord has need of him, so he takes him away. But the Lord is able without a person to continue, to maintain, to sustain, so that our concern should be, what is the will of God in this future? And if we're satisfied that the Lord's will is that we should make sacrifice in any particular, however hard it may be to us, to make that sacrifice, acknowledgement of the absolute right of a sovereign God to do as he will among the inhabitants of the earth, we should bow to this. The Lord has need of us. The Lord has need of us. And they said, the Lord has need of us. And they brought him to Jesus. How wonderful is that picture. And they brought him to Jesus. Cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon, and as they went, they spread their clothes and arrived. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. What a disciple. What an experience. What an experience for those that were in